Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Feather and Fur. Your host, Brad Hurlibus, and I know it has been more than a month or a minute or a hot minute. I think our last episode was in October for getting ready for the Ruffed Grouse Society's Grouse Camp, which was amazing, by the way. Great mentorship, great opportunities for new hunters, awesome seminars for dog handlers, from how to remove your dog from a trap to first aid. There's one of the preen veterinarians were there. Just a great program. So it's been a while. We kind of took a break, but we're coming back and we've got some exciting news, and we're going to bring Dave Palmer right away on. Mr. Dave.
Hey buddy, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. I'm excited for a new season and a slightly new feel to the show.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I was kind of shocked when you reached out and said, hey, you want to jump on a podcast, but I'm glad that you did, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, hearing about you doing the Ruffed Grouse, like, anytime I hear about an event or something going on and it's in your area, it's like Brad is involved somehow. Like, you did that and you did I'm pretty sure it was you were involved with a veterans hunt in the fall and
Horicon
you just
March.
Get out there and you do a ton of stuff. So good on you, bro.
Absolutely. As my show has always been, chasing that experience, and a big part of that experience for me has changed from individual hunting to mentorship, to like really leaning into that, to that R3 mentality, that recruit, re-engage, and retain for hunting. And it's really a lot of people focus on the youth. And there's great opportunities for the youth, but I feel like there's a missing segment of adult hunters who want to get started. And I have found that I've really been able to approach that through veterans and first responders and getting them out on the water for duck hunting or getting them out into the field, grouse hunting or pheasant hunting, and really seeing them get excited for the whole process and continue on their own.
Yeah. And I find too, when you take some of them out, like you get them out of the environment that they're used to, and that has, I don't want to say triggers, but things that are like that, right? You take them out and you're in a kayak, a boat, whatever, and they open up and they start, all of a sudden you start seeing who they really are and the fun and the excitement. And, you know, I take a lot of the first responders out in the area here, and you go out and you're duck hunting, just seeing like a flock of ducks go overhead. They're just like, oh my God, that's awesome. And it's just a different excited side of them rather than the working side of them. So I like seeing that too.
Absolutely. It's great. I really enjoy it. I enjoy teaching. Like I'll take people out and there's no expectation for them to ever do it again. Like if they want to come out and have a good time, awesome. I'll get you out. We'll joke around. We'll have fun. We'll eat some breakfast. We'll drink some coffee. We'll hopefully shoot some birds and it'll just be a relaxing, fun experience. But if you're in my boat and you're like, I want to keep doing this. Well, all right, let's change how we do this, right? So rather than just like, we're going to joke around, we're going to have fun, but as I do things, I'm going to start to explain it now. Like, why did I set my decoys this way? Or why did I go out there and change my decoys? Or why did I set my boat up here? Like looking, where's the sun? Where's the wind? Where's the hide? All different factors. And from watching birds work to helping them ID birds in the air, which you always do, but like really is to start to say like, here's different things that I pick out to try to help me ID birds rather than being like, that's a mallard, take the drake on the right. How did I know it was a drake? Like, and really taking it from a, just you're out hunting and having a good time to, I want to see you succeed if you truly want to do this on your own.
Yeah. And you really know when it clicks with someone, when they start asking questions like, okay, so what else do I need to be able to do this? Like, if you can't take me out, you know, right. Like, how many decoys do I need or stuff like that? And it's just, that's when it clicks. And that's when you're like, this has worked, right?
I'm sorry. I just made you poorer.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like giving that guy their first drug and taking right. them out there, right? Just yeah. If you, what's that? Have you ever seen that meme? Like, if you want to make sure your kids don't become drug addicts, just introduce them to hunting. They'll never have money to buy drugs. Like, yeah. So,
absolutely. I mean, it's, and you can fall in that rabbit hole. Right. You can so fall in the rabbit hole of I need the latest and greatest. And you really don't. I buy quality because I want it to last.
Yeah.
But there's a line between quality and being overpriced as well. And I find that balancing act.
Yeah. And there's also that line between people that are into it and they're hunting 50 or 100 times a year. And needing the quality for that to last versus the quality of someone that's only out 4 or 5 times a year, right? So right. I find you get a lot of decoy recommendations, you get a lot of like clothing recommendations, and really that it's so vast now. It's not like just anybody, I'm just putting on blue jeans and a whatever you call those striped shirts to go hunt deer. It's okay, now are you hunting from a tree stand? And there's all kinds of just various camel patterns and you know, a lot of it's layers, personal preference, base layers. Right. And
I mean, yeah. So many different technical lines of clothing out there, depending on how you're right. It's not just jeans and coveralls anymore. And a big heavy jacket. There's different technology out there with base layers and other things where you can stay warm sitting in a tree stand, but that's not what you might necessarily want. Like if you're out west hunting mountains, chasing elk, you're not going to want those thick layers. Like you're out there working. Like you got to dress for your activity level as well.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is like your coveralls from work will work.
They will. Yeah.
If you're duck hunting, you don't need the top of the line camel pattern. Like you're in a blind. That's your camel. Right.
Right. And waterproof depends on how you're going to hunt. If you're going out 3 or 4 times a year, you might skip those days where it's sleeting and snow and raining hard, where I'm still probably going to go out. I've had some amazing hunts and darn near blizzards before, and I know it can be that way. So I put up with the suck of it. But at that point, now I want good gear. I want gear that's going to keep me dry, keep me warm, because I'm out there in it.
Yeah. My favorite time to hunt is when you see a storm coming in and you know that that storm's going to be there like 2 hours after the hunt starts, like 2 hours after sunrise. And it's like, man, I'm going to go out, and you're going out and it's nice, but then it's miserable on the way back. And you get that feeling of like, I'm disgustingly wet and I'm cold. And then you get to that truck and you turn the heat on and it's like, it was just a good day, right? It's not like you're sitting in the miserable. And right before the hunt, I find is when I like to hunt, and it seems to be when the birds are, but that might be for another episode.
Well, there's plenty of talk for more episodes, and that's a good, that kind of leans right into it. The exciting news is Dave here is joining me as a co-host moving forward on Feather and Fur podcast, and I'm super excited to have a co-host to share this up, to share this with, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, and I think we're both aligned on what we see hunting as, and where we see it's more about the outdoors than the actual hunt, I guess you could say. It's about the experience, right? So
exactly.
And that when you reached out and said, hey, you want to get on a podcast, as let's give her another shot. So
I think it'll be good. I think we'll still have those episodes where that I've always had where it's story time and stuff like that. And we really hear about experiences, which gets people excited. Mm-hmm. But I think we're also going to have that good focus now of let's bring some really high quality content as well. Let's bring some specialists. Let's bring some experts in and maybe not pound out as many episodes as I was trying to before. Maybe it's once a month now rather than bi-weekly, whatever we find our groove to be, mm-hmm. and bring in some more of those experts. Like some of the best episodes I had was Puppy Breath. It was a great dog trainer talking about, like, here's the first year. Mm-hmm. And then we did like an intermediate one with him, which was great. And then I had a different dog trainer on that we just did like this giant overview of like kind of start to finish and try to like here's what's going on. And those episodes always did really well. So yep. did my other episodes, but like there's people out there want knowledge.
Yeah. And I think I'd rather see, if you only have content for like one a month, then do that. But if you have a guest that's on that, you know what, they're going to be a couple hours teaching all this, let's break it up into segments and maybe release once a week for a couple weeks. Like,
sure.
You know, if you can do a weekend, like high quality content that really connects with people is what's, it's a great vision that you have. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be good. And I think we just be a little more fluid, not necessarily. There's a lot of shows on the Paddle and Fin Network. And I think just being a little more fluid, bringing that great content. And if we have that long episode, being willing to break it up into a 2 or 3 part series, if we need to, so that way people can actually engage with it, understand it, and not be overwhelmed and feel like they have to go back and listen to an hour and 45 minute episode because 35 minutes in, like they kind of got distracted, but then they got back into it and it just.
Yeah. And the good thing is that these are actually podcasts. So while we're filming it on video and the video gets uploaded, you don't have to look at my face. So
right.
That's the bonus, right?
Right. If you're not the YouTube viewer and you're just listening to this on your vehicle, like in the truck while you're driving somewhere, that's where I normally like consume my content. You don't have to look at either of us.
Yeah. And some people do that. Like some people on the way to work, they're listening to it, and on the way home and driving their truck or snowplow, whatever.
Sure.
Right. Like my buddy Brian Rushton, he in the snowplow, he turns on, I guess there wasn't much plowing this year, but turns on the podcast and just starts listening to them. Right. So it's good content and it kind of keeps it's people talking rather than the same music over and over. So
absolutely. Yeah. But, absolutely.
So yeah. Now, nope.
Yeah. Like we're rolling like first episode, mm-hmm. first new episode, new feel. We'll call it a new episode. Right. Like first yeah. episode for us and in spring. And I know you're a big turkey hunter. I know that's one of your driving passions. So
yeah, turkey's what kind of got me full bore into it. Like it was just, I have ADD. So I find like certain things are hard to hunt. Spot and stalk's good for me. Ducks are good for me because you can kind of be a little bit movement in the blind until you see them. Right. But with right. the turkeys, I just find it so interactive and you can do so much with it that it just resonated with me right from the start. And I was one of those people that when I was in my early 20s, that's when I decided to start hunting. Right. I didn't have a parent that took me out or wanted to take me out. I did that on my own and went out and learned and turkey was kind of the big driving force for that. So, yeah.
And I was very similar. My family didn't hunt. I rented a farmhouse in my early 20s and the back corner would always flood and fall. And there was ducks and geese from the local lake. And I'm like, I got to learn how to hunt this. So it was waterfowl for me, but same thing. I took it on in myself in my early 20s and taught myself the way.
Mm-hmm. And I tried the deer hunting and everyone's like, oh yeah, you put your cameras out, find a good spot and then sit in your tree stand and wait for one to walk by. And you're kind of up there like, well, yeah, I guess that's why I like fly fishing. It's constant, right?
Absolutely. So, no, I'm not a big, like I deer hunt. I do. I don't bow hunt anymore. I only rifle hunt and I only go out really for opening weekend. I'm very spoiled and my father-in-law's got some great property, which is overrun with deer. So most years I'm done before lunch opening morning. And I get to fill my freezer, which works out well for, like, I'm not out there. Like, I've had great experiences out there. Don't get me wrong. Like, being out there when my niece shot her first buck at 15, I think she was, and helping my father-in-law get his deer out and all of that. But really, for me, it's, we don't buy ground beef. We eat venison. Like, that's what we eat. So to be able to go out there and be slightly spoiled and get a deer quickly and get right back into because to me that's late November and that's prime duck season. That's where I want to be.
Right.
So,
do you have a fall turkey season where you are?
We do.
And is it like restricted to bows or anything like that?
So you can't use a rifle, shotgun or archery only, either sex.
Okay. Yeah. Same here. That's same regulations here. We don't get to use, like, the one thing I found when I was taking youth out all the time is like my daughter, 12 years old, and she was very petite, November baby. So when she turned 12 that year, she was pretty young when she was actually getting into it. She was just freshly 12 for her first turkey. And, you know, we got her a 20 gauge, but even that took a bit of her adjusting to. So we don't get to use the 410 or the 28 up here for turkeys. That's kind of
interesting. So you have a gauge restriction up there.
Yeah. 20 is the smallest, I believe. Maybe 16. I'd have to. I guess 16 is bigger than 20, so never mind. Stupid math. So, yeah.
Why is it backwards?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this wire?
Yeah. So, yeah, 20 is the smallest, and she eventually got used to it. And
sure.
It just, yeah, we, instead of patterning, we just let her, you know, shoot towards the pattern for a bit until she got used to it. And then it's, you know, get used to the gun and now start learning to aim the gun. And now actually try and hit that turkey target, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Nowadays, that could be a costly process with the price of ammunition. But
Yeah, that is for sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
And turkey loads kick. Turkey loads have some recoil to them.
Yeah.
I've got a turkey gun, and it is the meanest gun I own, hands down.
Yeah. But it's fun, right?
I don't do it very much. Turkey's not something, like, it's nothing I really got into. And I kind of got some reasons there for it, but it's nothing that's it's not a good enough reason to stop me from, like, actually starting to pursue it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a little excited this year. We've got, on that same property I'm spoiled on, I've actually had quite a few turkeys on my trail camera lately.
Oh, that's
so good. My tag is second week in Wisconsin, which is the third week of this month. So
yeah. So that's right around when ours starts. Yeah. So here in Ontario, April 25th is when the turkey tags open. You can start hunting, and then you go right through the end of May. So
sounds very similar to here.
Yeah. Except we don't have the week restriction. Like, you only get a week to do it.
Correct. We get a week in spring. Fall is wide open, I think, for 2 months. Don't quote me on that, but
yeah. How about turkey reaping? Is that a restriction where you are?
I know what that is.
So basically you're taking a Tom decoy with the fan.
Okay.
And you're holding on to the decoy in front of you, and you're crawling towards the bird, acting like a real tom.
To the best of my knowledge, it's legal.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge. Turkey is not my forte, right?
Yeah. No.
So, but to the best of my knowledge, I've not heard that it is illegal. And I feel like on social media, people would be complaining about it if it was.
Yeah. But you got to look at it from both sides, right? Like, if I told you, hey, Brad, here, take this decoy, start crawling, you know, it's a public bush, start crawling right towards that other turkey, and then it's going to ignite the rage in it to come at you, and then when it gets close enough, shoot it. Just from an outside perspective, it doesn't sound super safe, does it? So.
Well, not especially as, when, what do they say? Turkey hunting is one of the most dangerous out there because it's the only time you're in full camo.
Yeah.
Other than duck hunting and things like that, different situation. But in the woods on public land, it's the only really hunting opportunity out there where everyone's in full camo. mm-hmm. and you're trying to sound like the bird you're trying to kill.
Yeah. And they tell you, like, don't have anything red, white, and blue on when you're out turkey hunting, because that's the colors of the tom's face, right?
Sure.
And here you are with a tom decoy in your hand that's red, white, or blue.
Right. Going,
and there could be someone trying to hunt that same tom you're trying to go towards, right? So you don't, it's kind of a weird situation. And yeah, it's, we don't need to delve too much deeper into that.
But, yeah. That's one of those controversial topics, which I wouldn't, yeah, probably I'd go with controversial on that one. Cause I mean, you're going to have people real heavy on both sides, right? People are like, this is the most dangerous thing ever. Whereas this is the most effective thing ever. You should know your targets.
Yeah. 100%. And you have the people like, you're taking away things that we can do, but then you have the other people that are like, yeah, but this is super effective and it works.
Right.
Yeah. It is super effective. And yes, it works. But on the other side, you got to see the dangers in it. Right. So there's both sides of it. Some look at duck hunting, like some places restrict motion decoys, and some,
yeah,
you know, there's restrictions in places for certain reasons. And I think we got to step, everyone needs to step back for all of these restrictions and kind of take a look at it. And there are certain things, especially up here in Canada, that with our firearms, that it's like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. And, but I'm looking at it from a passionate hunter, outdoors person. And so, yeah, this is one of those things that I think you need to look at. Look at the safety aspects of it. Think about it. Like, if more people start getting hurt, and there's cases every year where people are getting shot because of it.
Sure.
It is something that they got to look at. And maybe that's a reason why they are restricting it somewhere or banning it somewhere or whatever. So
I kind of deal with that all day at work, not in a safety aspect, but in a technology aspect, where training can only get you so far in a lot of situations, and you have to make a change to prevent someone from doing something in order to create actual change.
Yeah.
And maybe this is one of those situations. I haven't done the research, but maybe it is, where it is just to a level of danger that maybe it can't be allowed on public land. Maybe there's a restriction on public land, but if you have private land, maybe, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I can see both sides of it just because of the danger there.
Yeah. And even with public land, you're also going to run into people that are on the wrong, or the private land, sorry. You're going to run into the wrong people that are on what they think is public. And
right.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that can go into this, but yeah, we'd need someone that's a lot more educated on the topic than myself, because I've never tried it.
Sure.
Like, to me, crawling on the ground with the knees that I have, yeah, there you go. I'm restricted. So, right.
Part of turkey hunting to me, the little bit I've done, it's always been like, part of it's been the calling, right? Like, I don't do a lot of spot and stalk. I enjoy waterfowl. I enjoy, because you're calling at the birds. You're trying to get them to do something they don't necessarily want to do, right? They weren't going to go where you were. That maybe they were if you're on the X, yes, like you, and you should be on the X, but those aren't real ducks on the water. You're trying to convince them that those plastic blocks floating out there are something real, and they're like, hey, let's go down there.
Yeah.
Turkey hunting to me is that same experience. Like, to me, from the little bit I've done it, it's that same experience of trying to find a tom, get it to call back, and then bring it to me. Like, to me, that's the challenge of it.
Yeah. My favorite is getting up super early and getting to the bush to the point where they're not even up yet. You roost them the night before, so you know the area they're in. And then you get in really close, and then you hear that first gobble first thing in the morning. And then you just kind of start softly working them. And then you hear the hen in the bush. And I just love that part. I got to admit something. I haven't actually shot a bird in a number of years myself. I've taken my kids for a few years, buddies for a few years. I was injured for a year, and I just never, but I still get the same enjoyment just being out there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, it, whether I pull the trigger or you pull the trigger, I'm still out there. Whether nobody pulls it, you still get that experience of hearing them in the tree in the morning.
Yeah. So, And that's what it is, right? Like for me, like watching someone shoot their first duck at this point for me is more exciting than me shooting a duck. Now, there's some ducks I still get excited about. Don't get me wrong, right? But this last year, I took it was my nephew's first year really duck hunting. And I got him out a couple of times and he got an amazing hooded Maganser. Just a stud drake. And I'm like, I've never got one that nice. Like, now he also shot one of my pintail decoys with it, which I give him a hard time about.
Yeah.
But like, I was excited for him. Like, I was more excited for him than any bird I shot that day.
Yeah. And people see these TV shows where the guy shoots something and then like, woo, and they're all celebrating. And most of the time I'm not like that, but I can tell you right now, when my buddy Jason and I go for a canvas back again, and we actually get one. I think we've been trying for like 6 years now. We get together like once for a few days of the year going after a canvas back, and it just hasn't worked out for us, right? And I guarantee you the day that it happens, there's going to be a high five or a hug or something, because it's been a long journey to get one. So I agree with that. Like there's certain birds out there that you just want to see and want to get the first one, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of cans up by you, or is that part of the challenge?
They're about 2.5 hour drive. There's Lake St. Clair there.
Okay.
That's probably the closest. My son, when we were out, like maybe a second or third time out, there was a canvas back, just one in the bunch of birds that we saw. And I was like, oh my God, there's a can here. Like, they just kind of like landed far away, and then they started swimming kind of near us. And then I hyped it up so much. I'm like, that's my favorite bird. And I hope it comes near and we can get one. And then when it kind of came near, my son was just like almost frozen, because it was just like, I pumped it up so much. Right. And here, when the kids are young, the adult can't shoot, only the kid can.
Okay. So
he kind of froze up, and he's just like, oh, that's dad's bird. What if I miss it? You know? And I'm like, no, I don't care. We got to see it. Like, that, to see a live one was enough, right? So, and the challenge of actually going and getting one and finding it, and yeah, it just goes to show you that there's more to it than just like what they show on TV or YouTube or whatever. Like, we've been after it for a few years now, and six. So yeah.
That's a long time to chase one bird.
Yeah. That's just it. Now, we were only doing like, we're only specifically going after them a few days a year, right? And you need the conditions. And 6 years ago when we went out, it was still super warm out. This year, like, it was too warm and there wasn't enough birds to make the trip, right? It just didn't make sense. So I just went to his house this year instead. And that's when we got that stud pintail that I sent you the picture of.
That was a beauty.
Yeah. And even that, we were like, that's a beauty bird, you know? Yeah. And it's pretty cool too, to see people that like get a beautiful bird like that and just want to have that. Oh yeah, I got this bird. And then the people that appreciate what they actually got, and you know, they're making sure the feathers are all okay, and they're wanting that mount to remind them of it. Right. In this case, it's a mount reminding him of the hunt that we had, just a spur of the moment hunt. So those are the cool little
spur of the moment hunt when you're trying to chase a can and you get a gorgeous pintail.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a cool story. So that mount, it'll be a great one to see every now and then, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Reminder of a good hunt. Still on that 6 year challenge. Like, it's even a little poke at that, right? Like, you still don't have a can.
Yeah, right. Just mount it with like a crushed like Budweiser can beside it or something. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, turkey season's coming, and I'm looking forward to it. I already got a bunch of buddies coming up to get birds again. And I was fortunate that one of my buddies, again, a guy that he'd been after turkeys, I think he said like 5-10 years, I forget what it was, but just in his area, just never had success. And then came up and I was able to get him on one, and seeing someone get their first, it's pretty special. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So. Especially if it's a journey, right? It's not the first time out. It didn't come easy.
Yes. Because when it comes easy, then those people are just like, yeah, it's not for me, or it's too right. easy. Like, you know, but when it's been a journey, then it's a special thing, and it's a special moment too. Right. So yeah,
absolutely. Now,
turkey's one of those things too, that it's not super expensive to get into, which is what I like. Right.
Sure.
It's not like our duck hunting where you need a boat or a field spread decoys. Yeah. Like, you don't even need a decoy for a turkey, right?
Right.
If you have your shotgun or your bow and you can sit still, learn to call a little bit, and you could have a chance, right? Like,
and even if you want a decoy, like, there's some decent looking, relatively inexpensive decoys out there. By the time they can figure out the difference, they're in range, right? Like, and I know turkeys have good eyesight, but you're not looking like even a small duck spread is way more than a single turkey.
Right. Yeah. But the one thing I do want to try this year is a turkey silo, like a silhouette.
Interesting.
I've been seeing them posted. I don't know. It just, to me, it's like, man, are they actually going to come and kind of like the tom's going to fan, or is it just going to kind of be like, you got these things set out there and the bird's walking by regardless, right?
Right.
Like, if you're hunting, you know, it would be like having a field spread of just jugs of water painted blackout. Like, are you just on the X, or did those painted jugs actually make it work, you know?
Back in the day, they said it did. I don't know now. I mean, our birds, I mean, they get more pressure now. I think there's less hunter numbers from what, like, if you look at hunting numbers are down, but I feel like there's more pressure out there today than there used to be.
Yeah, I could see that. And there's more safe access. Like, you see some of these guys in those handmade boats or rafts, whatever you want to call them, trying to get out to birds, and you're going like, man, maybe they didn't have the lake conditions that we had back now, but wow. Now you got these, like, my buddy had a Prodigy, and you're sitting in that thing like, this is a luxury duck boat. This is amazing, right? And then you look at pictures of the old guys, like, laying in that little single dugout canoe, like, just right. kind of, yeah. So
old bay skiff or any one of those, like those old skull boats and all that stuff, completely different. If they'd see us, if they saw my boat, 1856 with a blind and heaters when it's cold and everything else, they'd be like, this isn't even hunting.
Yeah. You got electricity and lights on your boat. Like, yeah, we made ours out of plywood and 2x4, you know, like, you see,
someone bring a lantern.
Yeah. Like, whew. So yeah, things have changed. Some things for the better, some things for the worse, right? Like,
sure.
Back in the day, that's why there was all those guys carving decoys, and that's why they're so collectible now, because it's a cool part of the heritage. Now we're just fortunate we can go to Walmart and get a $2.99 decoy or whatever they are. I don't know what they are, but like, they're so accessible now, right? Yeah. Even like you were saying, turkey decoys, you can get just a foam decoy, like a little foam. You get there, you pop it out, and the stake holds it open.
That's all I have.
Yeah. When you're done, you roll it back up and go.
I mean, I've shoved some newspaper in mine to make it a little more fuller.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's it. Like, that 15 bucks.
But therein, we were talking about turkey reaping, right? Like, having that decoy out in front of you. There's people that think that, you know, even just using a turkey decoy itself, like, kind of goes against the turkey hunting. Like, it's kind of a cheat code, right? So, yeah.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
It's fun, though, and that's the thing. You can do it so many different ways and have so many different experiences. Never have the same experience, I've found, right? So I've shot a bird.
What's that? Every bird works different.
Yeah.
Every bird works different. Every morning's different. You're out there early, like you said. Like, one of my favorite times of a hunt is watching the woods or the marsh come alive. There's just something special as things start to move around and the squirrels come out and the birds start to chirp and all of that. There's just something special about that.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't recognize the experience that you've had, right? I remember I took someone out and the birds came out of the tree and then all of a sudden a coyote came out. Oh, the hunt's ruined. This sucks. I'm like, you got to see those birds fly out of the roost, land in the ground, and see a coyote come out and try and presumably try and get a meal.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
You're watching something in nature that a lot of people don't see, right? They don't program that into your video game, and a hunt like something like that mostly probably isn't recorded and put on YouTube. So, yeah.
No, that's a cool experience. I mean, you watched a predator.
Yeah.
Try to get a meal. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, yes, did your hunt not work out? Yeah, it didn't. Didn't work out for him either, it sounds like. So,
yeah. Would it have been better if it worked out for him instead? You know, like, who knows?
Right. But
yeah. It's all in how you judge your own hunt and the hunts of the people that you're with, right? If you're out there thinking the hunt's just the kill, yeah, maybe it is a bad experience for you, but you got to look at it in the bigger picture.
Agreed. So, agreed. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of hunt, like, even when I was younger, like, I wanted to shoot my limit, right? Like, a limit was the hunt. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of hunters go through that and then they start to mature.
Yeah.
And I don't know if mature is the right word. Maybe the focus just starts to change.
Grow. They start to grow and develop their own aspect, right? They're seeing it for what, you know, the first time you're putting in all that work just to go out and get the birds. So you're hoping that it happens. But once you've done it a bunch of times, it's like, oh, well, just being out there every day and with your buddy or whatever is a good part of it too. Right. So.
Absolutely. I mean, the blind conversation's always good. I'm sure there's good conversation in the truck when you're driving to different areas in the morning. I mean, I have that with like getting ready, but same with turkey. And when you're out there, you're not probably out there chatting around, right? You're serious. Like,
right.
You gotta be, because but there's all that in between time that fills all that just makes for an overall enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of my buddies and I have been talking about like some of the best things with hunting are traditions and experiences, right? So we've been talking about, okay, we got to figure out a tradition that no matter what, we follow it and we do it, right? You know, opening day, we get together, or a lot of people, you think about like deer camp.
Yeah.
They have that tradition of getting together the night before and doing whatever their traditions are. I'm not a deer hunter, but you hear about that, and it's traditional that the whole family gets together for deer season, right? So people have traditions, and then experiences. We were talking about, well, let's do a duck hunt with all single shot, like old cooies, you know, just
why like, not?
It's an experience, right?
Right, right.
So if you don't get a bird, you don't see anything come in. Still, you went out and tried and you had fun, right?
Right.
So
no, traditions are important, and it doesn't need to be family passed down traditions. You can start your own traditions. I mean, a buddy and I did, I think I'd have to look it up, but it's kind of, I'm pretty sure this is the 15th, this coming up is our 15th year of grouse camp.
Yeah. And that's now, what is your tradition for grouse camp?
Grouse camp is the tradition.
You just get together, you just spend the week together, or
we spend 5 days, four nights, 5 days. And there's some good times to be had. The tradition itself is we don't like grouse camp is highly important and we don't miss grouse camp, right? That, but inside a grouse camp, there's some smaller traditions. Like we always cook some good food. Like we like cooking is one thing we do. Like we might go out and grab a bite here and there, but we're cooking food, and we've got a couple of foods now that have like turned into tradition for us. Like one of them is, I think 4 years or 5 years now we've done this, get a big package of brats and smoke them, like just smoke them, chop them up into little rounds and throw them on a hot skillet with onions and green peppers and orange peppers and red peppers. And like that's one of our meals. Like, and that meal is a staple now. Like that's one of our, I guess you could say food, some of our traditions. The past 3 years I've done a venison pinwheel. So I've been starting to get my backstrap, the loin,
yep,
rather than butterflied. I leave one whole. One of them stays whole and I pound it flat, layer pesto, seasoning, cheese, roll it up and smoke it for 4 to 6 hours.
Man.
I guess you could say that. Like that's some of our tradition, like right there now is like food. Like food's one of them. And
yeah,
good bottle of, like for us, like a good bottle of bourbon or whiskey or something. And we're not getting drunk up there, but like we'll have a small glass of like good quality like bourbon or whiskey, and then like a really good meal.
Yeah. And I remember, like, you're hitting on what I, another part that I like for the people that are just listening and they can't actually see me and they don't know me, I have a double chin for a reason. Like, I love my food, man. That stuff is, yeah, it's good stuff. But, and that's just it. Like my first time that a group of friends and I got together for a duck camp, I didn't do deer camps and stuff, but you always think, when you think about a deer camp, you think about the boys all getting together at the back shed and just drinking pints, right?
Right.
We went down there and the one guy brought this bottle of expensive rye, and it was like, oh, we're not there to get hammered, because the next morning we want to have a great hunt. Like we want to go out there and not feel like crap. So we just, it would have been more of a tradition. Like we were trying to do it every year, but then with that little flu that came about, yeah, rhymes with MOVID, but because of that we had to cancel because they weren't renting out the hotel for a year. But
sure,
like, yeah, so it kind of became a thing. Like you just, you know, you bring out, you probably spend the same amount as you would have if you tried to just pound the pints back all week on a good bottle of whiskey or whatever you're having, but you're having a better morning. Right.
You don't feel like a pile.
You don't feel like a pile. Yeah.
No, I mean, I remember one opening weekend of duck up north, man, we hit it hard the night before and I poured myself out of bed. I remember throwing up behind the blind.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they were in my younger years, but I mean, I still made it out there, but oh, that was a rough morning and I'm too old for that now. I mean, I don't want to feel that way. I want to enjoy my weekend. I don't want one night of overindulging to like for now be like a day and a half of just feeling like a pile.
Yeah, just a miserable morning, especially when you're getting up. Like sometimes you scout and it's like, oh, it's gonna be like an hour drive and then a 15-minute boat ride, and so you're getting up at like 2:30 or 3 in the morning just to
I mean, with the pressure around me in some spots now, I mean, if you're not to the ramp by 4, you're late in some areas now. Like you, like there's plenty of water, but if you want to be where the birds are, you better be willing to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. But
when you're still drinking at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. do I go to sleep or do I just stay up? Right.
Exactly. Like might as well just get the boat ready. Let's go.
Yeah. And it's a good thing Jimmy didn't drink, because someone has to get us to the boat ramp.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's the designated driver this time?
Exactly. And people wonder why, like, you see, like, a Monster or Red Bull has kind of become a tradition in a lot of waterfowling YouTube stuff. And, well, there's part of it. Like, you're up early and you're, yeah, it's a long day.
It can
sometimes
be.
Yeah. Sometimes coffee doesn't settle well.
And that's where I, like, really enjoy my boat, right? Because there's been times where I've got out on those pressured areas and I've got there early and I've put the time in, and I'm a solo and I'm like, there ain't no one around me. Like I'll leave the boat light on, fold the blind over, close all the hatches, turn the heater on, blind bag as a pillow, and I'll go back to bed.
Yeah. Have you ever done it where you knew it was going to be pressured the next morning, like you see just a massive amount of birds come in, so you park the boat out there and you sleep in it overnight?
I've not. I know plenty of people that have,
Yeah.
I've not. It's been to the point though where I've debated it, right? Because if I've got to leave my house at 2:30 to get on the water by 3:30, and it's 11 o'clock and I'm still up because it's a Friday night or something like that,
mm-hmm.
do I just go out there and sleep?
Yeah. Right. Turn the heater on and.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's your tradition, right?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do a night sleeping on the boat every year.
I know plenty of people that it's crazy. I remember I used to like Horicon Marsh is the biggest freshwater marsh in the US or North America. It's one of the two, right? It's a huge marsh and I used to work right by it. And yeah. I remember being at work on Thursday before duck opener, seeing guys go to the marsh to go sleep there till Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Talk about pressure. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. I've got other areas. You can have amazing hunts in these big marshes and these pressured areas, but I've gotten to the point personally where end of the season, water's limited. Yes, I'll get there early. I'll hunt those spots. I will do that. When there's more opportunity, more water, everything's not locking up, I'll go hunt a small hole and see a quarter of the birds. And to me, that's a better experience because I'm not dealing with all the pressure.
Yeah. And sometimes you find that the pressure from the people going into that area, that's good. If you're on an area that's just outside of it, that doesn't have the pressure, you're going to get the things that are blasted away. Right.
Right.
So yeah, it's all fun times. And then you see those people too. Like, I know I was watching an episode of that Dr. Duck. I think that's what it did.
Yeah.
I think that's,
I've watched a few.
Yeah. And it's like, they're lined up at the boat ramp. Uh-huh. Like, they're sleeping in the boat ramp just to get in. And then there's the shotgun start first thing in the morning where all the boats are lined up and ready to go. And it's like,
yeah, that's crazy.
I kind of want to experience it, man. Like
I agreed. I do. Like,
Once. Yeah. The shotgun start out of the boats. And then you see some of those guys just whipping through the trees and it's like, whoa,
my boat's not the right boat for that. I'll admit that right now. Unless you want to drift into a bunch of trees, mine does not turn on rails.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. No. But those guys, they got to know what they're doing going. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's plus I want to do a big timber hunt like that, too. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we don't really have that here. So
we don't either. I mean, if some areas, if we get flooding, we'll get flooded timber, but it's not the same as what they're hunting down there.
Yeah. And that's just it. Like, a lot of people, when you say like, oh man, I just want to hunt flooded timber. Oh, well, the back bush is flooded like a foot deep of water. We're getting wood ducks back there. Fun. Not exactly the same.
Right.
So
not exactly the same. Like, cause it's different, right? Cause even in that flooded timber, like to me, like my best hunts have still been on like somewhat overcast days with like, but they say like in that timber down there, like you want bluebird sky, which blows my mind. Like they're saying that you want just bright sunny days. I'm like, wait, when's duck hunting good on a bright sunny day? Cause it's not like that here.
No. Yeah. That's, I haven't heard that. I haven't really studied too much of it because I'm one of those guys that when I have a pursuit I'm after, I'm going to study that one and I'm going to forget the other ones for a bit. Sure. I still know timber hunting and I still want to do it. And I still see videos on it, but it's like, yeah. Right now I'm focused on other stuff. So
now that's just from my YouTube video content.
Yeah.
That's not from like actually research. So, yeah.
And you got to think it would probably be tough because you're in like a really shadow centric area, right? Like you're down there, it's dark. You're looking up at that hole. Like if it's all cloudy.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
They're whipping by, you're probably not going to see them. It's going to look like a shadow.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe when duck season comes around, we should get a flooded timber expert on.
I know a guy.
Yeah.
I see if I can't get him. He was on the show once before. We'll see if I can't get him back on.
Yeah. That'd be good because then again, we'll probably go talk about something else. Like, this was supposed to be a turkey episode. Yeah.
You know, we tried, like, I thought about that as we started to go different ways. I'm like, you know, this, we'll just call this the introduction episode.
Yeah. And 100%, that's fine, right? Like, it, that being said, like, I tend to get, I got ADD, right? I'll go off topic all the time.
Right.
Squirrel, right? So, yeah. So, it's all fun. And we did talk a little bit about turkey.
Yeah, we talked a little bit, got a little political with it, even a little controversial. And
yeah, and I don't know, I didn't want to take sides. I'm definitely on the one side, but yeah, I think it's better to put the information out there. So
agreed. Let people make their own decisions.
Yeah.
Try not to be biased.
No, but if someone is biased, regardless, I'm going to take the opposite stance just to make it an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll argue anything. That's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. It's that's it. It, I don't know. It brings out more, right? You can kind of delve deeper into the subject.
Right.
So, yeah, it's fun.
No, I'm excited for this year. I'm excited to bring you on as a co-host. I think it's going to be really good. I'm excited.
Yeah. I was on the fence when you reached out, but just knowing you and talking to you, and then when you gave me your vision, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just go. Like, let's have fun with it.
Right.
Right.
Not serious. Like,
no.
Just bring people on to have some good quality episodes, get technical, bring some experts in, still have some fun shows where we're just sitting around shooting the crap. Like, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah. And I think another part too is when you kind of said, like, we're going to delve into grouse hunting and deer hunt. Like, we're not restricted to just one platform. It's like, well,
no,
I'll be able to learn something too. Right. There's going to be episodes, a lot of episodes, I'm sure, that I have no idea what I'm doing with deer hunting because I've never enjoyed it.
Sure.
So if we have someone on talking about deer hunting, I might end up asking a lot of questions.
Which is good, because I guarantee you there's people listening that are thinking those same questions.
Yeah. So you don't have to be an expert, but yeah, you have to be doing and passionate. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Next episode.
Turkey.
Turkey. Turkey specialist.
Yes. It's going to be good.
So, I think so. And I hope I don't sound too stupid asking them grade 5 questions to a scientist.
Well, you know more about it than me. I'm gonna be like, wait, they have a fan like a grouse, right?
Yeah. I love that picture of the guy that got the grouse and he's holding it up like a turkey. He's got it, it's just like, yeah. So yeah, it'll be good.
It will be good. Yeah, I'm excited. I think we'll end that. We'll wrap this up right here. So I appreciate it, Dave. It's going to be great. I'm truly am excited. I hope the listeners are as well. And we're going to come back with some more regular content. So it won't be a 4-6 month break, actually. So you'll be hearing from us more often.
Yep.
Until next time, Dave.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say until next time, buddy. And hand over to you, but yeah.
All right, appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to this episode. Until next time, everyone, keep chasing that experience.
Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go with, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.